From the Mercy One Studio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.
Making It Personal with Bishop William Joneson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Joneson. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with Bob and Nanette Horton, members of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Ames and authors of the book, Missionary Parenting, Cultivating the Six Key Relationships Essential to Your Domestic Church. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on Bishop's mind.
Morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Hey, a little break in the weather for those ragbriars on their next to last day. They've been going through some grueling temperatures across the state of Iowa. I was pining to get out on the road a little bit, finally on the Raccoon River Trail yesterday from Waukee up to Linden. I was going to go to Panora, but just the heat, I thought better. Time to be wise and not to be tough for once. So that was a nice little thing. But some relief for them. We're in the first week of the lifting of the dispensation for Sunday Eucharist. And so, again, that calling of the Lord to keep the Sabbath holy in the commandments of God, which we realize as Catholics in our Eucharistic faith. So I think that positive way, we don't take a vacation from our faith during the summer. And I think even our author today will be kind of alluding to that and kind of the parenting that he'll talk about as well. Pope Francis, a couple initiatives and then also an apostolic letter in recent days. So this past Sunday, kind of anticipating the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, Grandparents Day, elderly. And so we keep that bond of generations, you know, in his Christus Vivit, he had talked about being in the canoe together. And some may not be able to paddle as much, but they are wise guides for us, knowing what those things to avoid and not to avoid. And then yesterday, the Feast of St. Martha has been expanded, the Feast of St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, so siblings. So I don't know if there's going to be other unrecognized sibling saints in heaven who are going to be lobbying Jesus or Mary. Come on, I want to be recognized too in this. You know, don't just let my sibling get all the honors as well. So I think Jesus feeling very comfortable at home with them also. And then, of course, the recent apostolic letter, Traditionis Custodes, the custody or guardians of the tradition. This is not the new name of the Cleveland Guardians that will be changed, but the guardians of the tradition of the faith. And so looking at the reform of the liturgy and how that will be continue to be the normative expression and making some revisions based on the consultation that he had with bishops last year about the use of the 1962 Roman Missal. So this might cause some consternation. I just want listeners in our areas, particularly Diocese of Des Moines, to recognize that we really only have one community who's regularly celebrating in that fashion at St. Anthony on the south side of Des Moines at 5 p.m. The regulations say that ultimately we would not use parish churches and that any priests who are ordained after this motu proprio is released would ask for not only the permission of the diocesan bishop, but the apostolic see. But I'm going to move very slowly, as always, discerning. I think, you know, that we're absorbing this and the significance of it. In my consultation last year, I affirmed that this is a community that very much is with the church, sees themselves not as kind of reactionary in any way, but that the, you know, that the recognizing the legitimate diversity that Pope Emeritus Benedict had and St. John Paul II had established. So again, more to come on that, but don't see for any kind of immediate cessation of that, and I think we'll discern how we might serve that community in a beautiful way. In a positive kind of a sports related note, also, congratulations to the St. Albert Falcons, 1A baseball champs yesterday, beating Key Lansing 7-5. It was a kind of a wide margin until the last innings, and the Hawks had kind of closed the gap there. But they came through. Cy Patterson pitching also had contributed some runs as well. And so a 7-5 victory. This is the fourth state title in baseball for St. Albert Catholic School. Their record this year, 35-9. So congrats to all the players, parents and families, and Coach Duncan Patterson for a job well done, kind of bringing a little honor and distinction there. Of course, Dowling Catholic's season ended a very fine season, but ended with a loss in the championship game. And then also Van Meter and Winterset quitting them quite well on the public side. So some of our faithful playing for some of those schools.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll welcome Bob and Annette Horton, authors of the book Missionary Parenting. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Joneson.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Jonathan. On today's show, we're visiting with Bob and Annette Horton, members of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Ames and authors of the book Missionary Parenting, Cultivating the Six Relationships Essential to Your Domestic Church.
So we're kind of crossing over diocesan lines, but not too far removed here in central Iowa, and it's good to have the Hortons with us as well, Nan and Dr. Bob Horton. People I've had privilege of making my acquaintance, involved with the Carpenter Shop event in the evening in January 2020 before the pandemic hit, and that was kind of drawing together different generations. So some nice witnessing and programming by a Cyclone undergrad, and then yours truly, too. So reconnecting here at occasion of the ordination Mass of Thanksgiving for Father Martin Coolidge of the Archdiocese of Dubuque. Good to have you, Bob and Nan.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah, and you're both educators in a way. Nan involved with homeschooling and catechesis of the Good Shepherd, and Bob. Just to help set me straight, my scientific taxonomy here. Is soil science a species of agronomy, or what's the connection between those?
I would say soil science is part of earth science.
Okay.
Maybe a subset of geology, but it's often, you know, housed in the agronomy department, with the idea of, soil being such an important component for crop production.
Okay.
So we often have soil and crop sciences together.
Okay. Stay on the line later. I have some garden questions.
Yeah, you can get a consult there. So, well, thank you for setting that straight. Otherwise, I wouldn't have my berries. But, no, I think there's a rich agricultural kind of substrate, no pun intended, to your book. The land figures prominently, your use of the images as well from Jean-François Millet, famous for his painting of the Angelus, the couple praying out in the fields, and it's kind of laced throughout there. Very much, I think, a kind of sacramental imagination as by people of Iowa and the upper Midwest, very much tied to that rhythm of God's creation in the land. But then that cultivation of vocation and family that occurs as well. And so you're really kind of setting forward the next work of relationships that will help to build up the family, not looking at it primarily from a problem-oriented thing. We were talking a couple weeks ago about how to draw those who are not practicing back, but kind of speaking organically throughout the whole unfolding lives of children and the relationship between spouses as well. What was the inspiration to write the book?
Well, you know, Nanette and I were both baptized as children and raised as Catholics, but, you know, we kind of, in our early adulthood, wandered away from the church. We weren't very committed, and, you know, then through just life circumstances, difficulties and issues, independently, you know, before we even met each other, we made, renewed a commitment to God, made, you know, personal decisions for Christ, and re-engaged in the church. And then later we met each other and, you know, we're able to be married and, you know, children and grandchildren, you know, like that, and family. But we recognize, like, you know, so many do, and that so many children, so many baptized Catholics leave the church, walk away from the church. And when we started to have children, we wanted the best that we could, you know, to be like we often pray. We always pray at times of baptism. We pray that the parents, the mother and the father, can be the first and best teachers of the faith to the children. But we wanted to know what that meant, not just have a prayer, but we wanted to know how could we engage as parents to help to catechize, you know, teach, but also evangelize our children. And so we wanted to pass the faith on to the next generation. And so that kind of was a motivation for us, you know, to live our family. And then what we learned in our family from our own study, talking with others, and our own experience, we thought, you know, may be useful to write this down in a book form to share with other families that also had this desire to, you know, help pass on the faith or help form their children in the faith. Mm-hmm. How about you, Nanette? What would you like to say?
I think you said it really well, Bob. And what we found out was it's really all about relationships, because children are made for relationships, like we all are, made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, children at any age respond to love. And we were able to look at this and work on the approach of relationships that are existing within the family. And so that's kind of what this book is about, is about the relationships in the family and how we can bring in faith, hope, and love, loving God and loving others into all those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Very, very elegantly stated. And, you know, just to maybe nudge a little bit again, you kind of referred how your own path involved a kind of coming back together. When you were entering into marriage, were you seeing this as a vocational call? Philosopher Robert Spemann speaks about the way in which to love someone is to understand the reason God created this person, even though we can't exhaustively and know all the things. There's a mystery there as well. Did you see this as a kind of laying down your lives in this way, even at the point of marriage, or was that something that was kind of activated throughout the actual bringing children into the world and all that was going on?
No, I think we were able to recognize that and see that, you know, at the time of the beginning of our marriage, because we had each, you know, independently. Nanette lived in California, and I lived here in Iowa, and we had made a commitment, personal commitment to the Lord, committed our lives, and were committed to the church, and we had a sense of the vocational calling in our lives, you know, to be married, and even at the time of our marriage. Nanette and I wrote down like a vision for our marriage that included together loving God, not only independently as individuals, but, you know, committing our married life to God, loving God, and then striving to love others together as a couple. So I think we had a real sense of that. How about you, Nanette?
Yeah, I think that when you decide to follow Jesus, to become a disciple, you go in this mode of denying yourself, pick up your cross, and following Jesus, right? So there's already some giving up of self, you know, like a death to your own self, so like a seed that dies. So when you enter into the vocation of marriage, that just kind of expands to now there's a person you're committed to, and therefore you deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Jesus even. Even more, like more breadth and more depth, because that is part of your vocation, your discipleship of following Jesus, is this relationship now where you are called to be united with another person.
Mm.
But all that being said, Bishop, you have to grow in it as well. It's not like it's already known and done. We had a sense of it. We had a desire for, you know, the vocation of marriage, the sacrament of marriage, but it took a lot of growing on our part. And, you know, later the addition of children also helped us to grow.
You kind of laugh as you say it, because it was all light and fun, right? It was all just a lot of pleasure. No, the theology of the cross is very much woven throughout the book. You conclude each of the chapters talking about the cross, talking about laying down one's life in a way. And I was privileged last weekend to witness a marriage, officiated a wedding at St. Augustine Church here in town. And the couple chose that Ephesians 5 reading, you know, which is kind of a bold thing these days, you know. It's not politically correct, you know, wives be subordinate to your husbands, but men, husbands, you must love your wife as Christ loved the church, laying your dying, offering yourself body and soul for that. So they had a beautiful reflection on it, and I think they have that grand vision. But now the mystery unfolds, and there's going to be suffering. There's going to be ways in which we don't realize that we've placed ourselves at the center of everything, and that choice that you said, quoting St. Augustine, either we love God and forget self, or we love self and forget and deny God. And so I think that ultimate decision, you know, decidere, you know, that there's going to be a kind of cutting off in a way, that certain things that maybe we've identified or that we're clinging to, or God's going to give us the grace-filled opportunity to let go and loosen our gap on that as well. Now, you know,
yeah, I think
please.
Sorry, Bishop. No. In the book, we talk about marriage as a real opportunity for conversion, is because now you're in relationship with some other person, and you're always going to be challenged between what you want and the demands of love of your marriage, and therefore you always have to make that choice. And then it's always a hard choice, right? And you learn that as you grow together as a couple.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that love of Jesus, as you enumerate, that imitating Christ in love, free, total, faithful, and mm-hmm. fruitful, and hopefully fidelity over time becomes its own kind of reservoir and consolation for couples. Obviously, it's stumbling and falling at times in that. But then the children, if they're in the home, if they've been brought into the world, they're keen observers of all of this. They're seeing how husband and wife, or father and mother, are relating to each other. And hopefully, you know, if every two-year-old is a quasi-tyrant in that way, they're being called out of themselves to you know, that formation of the will and the intellect that you spoke mm-hmm. of. You know, maybe, you know, the inner philosopher here kind of letting loose, but you speak about forming the mind, the heart, the will. Do you think, mm-hmm. you know, does one of those take precedent? You know, I mean, I'm concerned, and I was in a kind of a conversation earlier this week that, you know, saying we might even our parochial schools form our young people very well in the intellect, their knowledge, even of the faith, of course, all the other disciplines that they'll study as well. But does that heart get activated, that the will, to will that above all else, and how this impinges that, you know, at age 13, some decisions are really being made about for or not for Jesus. So that's a reflection, but if it evokes any kind of thoughts or response on your part.
I'd like to respond to that. I think it's that's a question and a reflection right on, spot on. So many times I've heard people, you know, say they would like their children to be well-balanced. Let me just use the phrases, you know, spiritually and mentally and physically. So spirit, mind, and body type of thing. And I totally support that. You know, we want our children to be well-balanced, well-developed human beings. But I want to make a but on there to get back to your point. I think the priority should be on the spiritual side. That's not an add-on. We oftentimes I think it tends to be kind of an add-on now. You know, just in the classical sense of, you know, thinking about our faith life. Like for me, for example, growing up, you know, it was more of a mass, go to mass on Sunday obligation, get that out of the way so that I could focus on what I really wanted to do for the rest of the time. You know, in my life growing up, it was a lot on studies and sports. And these became more, received more priority than on religious formation or spiritual growth or of the heart, as you're saying. But I really, really think in the eyes of eternity and in the eyes of development of the whole person, if we put a spiritual growth, spiritual development of the heart, a connection to God and, you know, love of God, receiving that love, responding to that love, and love of neighbor, that the other things will come into place. You know, if we have Christ first, the other things will be in the right order in our lives, and we'll be able to live life to the fullest. How about you, Nanette?
Yeah, I think that our idea of the human person as unity of body and spirit, like the Catechism says, that's, there's a real unity there. If we look at our children or any other person as that unity, then we cannot ignore the spiritual part of them, right? And just because it's an interior thing, but we have to really just see people as that unity. And for our children, I think that the model that we try to do is what Christ did with his apostles. You know, in the 3 years that he was with his apostles, he had that human approach, and he lived with them and engaged them in body, mind, and spirit. He taught them how to pray. He mentored them in the mission. He taught them about the parables. He lived with them in community and worshiped with them. And he served out in mission with them. So it's a whole thing in unity. But number first of all, Jesus showed them that that intimacy with God was primary, that the will of God was the center of his life. And so this is what we bring into our homes with our families, is really this unity of all of this. But like Bob said, I think the primacy of the spiritual is the center of it all. It's like in the church. Our church, the center is Christ, you know, in, working through the Holy Spirit. So it's also, because it's a domestic church, it's a miniature of the big church, and the big church, it's central on Jesus. So it's kind of all modeled after that.
Well, thank you. You're holding up the theological horizon, if you will, and the soil that paves the way for this. You also have numerous practical kind of suggestions and everything else. If you'll be willing to stay with us, maybe we can touch on those when we come back after the break.
Great. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll return with Bob and Annette Horton. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Welcome back to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We're here with Bob and Annette Horton, authors of the book Missionary Parenting.
I use the metaphor of kind of an organic menu that you serve to us and touching on so many things, but the Eucharist and the sacramental life, which you offer some reflections on that and the power of the Church's prayers as a way of forming our vision. But talking about prayer, you know, ritual prayer, that the family to pray ritually together. But then also to teaching this relational prayer that I may perhaps with some credit to Father Scott Traynor, but that's a very powerful thing, that to pray so naturally and to believe the God who is always on our side wants to talk to us and is as receptive to us as we might be to him. Is that something you've been has really kind of been embraced by some of the young people you've worked with in that relational prayer?
Yes. We really love that prayer. We really love Father Scott Traynor. We know him personally. He was a student at Iowa State University before he went to the seminary, and you know, we were in a small group together, and so just love him, and he did a great job on his book on relational prayer. But on relational prayer, it's you know, it's a different kind of prayer rather than the memorized prayers that we have, Our Father, Hail Mary, etc. And it's really, taking some time to acknowledge our own thoughts and feelings that we're experiencing in our life and really relating them, presenting them in prayer to God. And being quiet in a receptive mode to listen And I think it's just so important, like in any relationship, earthly relationship or our relationship with God, to be able to share, to talk, to speak. And sometimes it's even unspoken words, right? It's just being in the presence, but also being receptive to listen. And then finally, to respond, you know, whatever it is we're hearing in our prayer, you know, to take some action. And we think that that's so important, even as husband and wife praying for each other, parents and children praying together, and to really learn to develop and practice this type of prayer. How about you, Nanette?
Maybe if I could just, Nanette, to break in mm-hmm. and nudge us here, as I'm conscious of our time. In the life of the bump and grind of daily life and siblings and things, and not always charity prevails, and so there's some need mm-hmm. for conversion and correction in that way, and that kind of dialectic mm-hmm. between keeping the gates and allowing a kind of flow free of the simplicity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you talked about, you know, punishments need to be tailored to what's actually at stake here in the relationship and not just something mm-hmm. kind of arbitrarily disconnected.
Right. So I think because you are taking the role of an educator, you know, the things that you do with your child, you have to be a little bit thoughtful of really what effect it will have or what it is that your goal is. And therefore, when there are crossing of boundaries that children do, and you have to decide whether it was something that's intentional or just because they're immature or something. But then when you give a consequence, it has to be connected to the infraction. Otherwise, you know, they're like, well, what is this? You know, it has to somehow make a remedy or a learning experience that they can have through that process that you're going through with them.
Oh, and I think that there's a lot of practical wisdom there. And then I think also the modeling of parents in terms of service and outreach mm-hmm. and, you know, bringing their young children into these experiences. You talk about breakfast with the homeless folks on Saturday mornings or other ways that mm-hmm. Kind of caught fire in that way. And also mm-hmm. integration into the life of the parish, that we're not waiting until they're confirmed or anything else to try and have that sense of outreach to others, the church of the domestic church, but the universal church as well.
That's right. I think
And we're winding down here, just a few seconds okay. left, and unfortunately, as always, there's so much more there. And of course, on a personal note, making it personal with Bishop Johnson, you're concluding kind of an invocation of Ezekiel 47, the river of life, as the stream of the Spirit that we want to be in, reading that spoke powerfully at my ordination. But may you continue to do that, and may this book, Missionary Parenting, gain a wide audience. So thanks to Bob and Nanette Horton for what you've offered us today.
Thank you, Bishop.
This has been an edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.